Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. But all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode, I am excited because we are still studying the book of 1 Kings, which is an excellent study in the chronology of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, laptops, Bible apps, tablets, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, about every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always personally take the time to do, is to thank all of you out there who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. Now, the comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using, so I appreciate it so very much. Now, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, again, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is written in Revelations chapter 21, verse 3. Now, the promise is that God is going to indwell with you, my precious brothers and sisters, if you keep close to him. Jesus said again, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall girt himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. This is taken from Luke 12, verse 37. Now the promise is that God, or Jesus Christ, is going to be with you and serve you if you keep his commandments. Jesus said again, this time through Apostle Paul, be ye not unequally yoked with non-believers. I will, and the Father will receive you and be your Father, and you will be his sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. This is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. Now, the promise, my precious brothers and sisters, is that you do not hook up intimately with those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, God, again, will indwell with you, not only God, but Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, the question again for this hour is, are you standing on these promises made by Jesus Christ? Okay, now before we go to the study, again, what I like to do and do it on purpose, my precious brothers and sisters, and the reason it's on purpose is because it's so significant to the study. Listen, the Bible is written in code. That means it's written in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, in paradoxes, in riddles, and symbols. And the only way to break the code, study and learning. And that is why we're on the air. That is why we're hosting this show, to provide the platform for the study and learning of God's holy word, breaking the code. Now, let's get to the study. We're going to go, turn your Bible sources with me to 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings chapter 16, we're going to look at verse 29 through 33. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29 through 33. And what I want you to do, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read this text to you, I want you to keep in mind this instruction. This is the instruction. Ahab, king of Israel. And you know we're in the book of Kings. So as I mentioned earlier, we're talking about maybe 25 different kings of Israel. And we're talking about another additional 25 at least kings of Judah. So in this instance, we're talking about Ahab, the king of Israel. Listen to what the Bible says about him in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29 through 33. And in the 30th and 8th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. So you can see they named two different kings, Asa, the king of Judah, and, of course, Ahab, the king of Israel. Verse 30 continues the thought. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did eat evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were done before him. And it came to pass as if he had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal, and in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than any of all the other kings of Israel that were before him. So this is the introduction to the king of Israel, and you can see he did that which was evil in the sight of God. Let's go to our New Testament complement. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 23, and what we're going to do is we're going to see as what Ahab did in Israel to make them sin. We're going to see what the Pharisees and Sadducees did to make the nation of Israel sin during the New Testament era. I see we're at our first break. Let's take that break, and then we will continue with the lesson.
You can trust God with your forgiveness. You can trust God with your shame. You can trust God to get to heaven when you die. But the real question is this: Do you trust him with timing? Some of us will say, oh, I worship Jesus. I'm going to see Jesus face to face when I die. But the real question isn't in the by and by when I die. It's what am I going to do in the meantime? And what if he doesn't show up in the exact moment, in the exact way that I expected him to show up? And what if I'm not married at the same time my girlfriends are married? And what if God doesn't pay my bill when it's due? And what if God doesn't develop and deliver me from the addiction in the first year? What if it doesn't work the first time, the second time, the third time? Then the question becomes, not just do I trust that God will do it, but do I trust when he will?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, what we're looking at is the New Testament complement, Matthew chapter 23, to see how, as Ahab did evil in God's sight in Israel, in the Old Testament, we're going to see how the Sadducees and the Pharisees did evil in God's sight, according to Jesus Christ, during the New Testament era. Listen, we're looking at Matthew chapter 23. First, we're going to read verse 15 and 16, and then verse 23 through 27. And listen to the comparison. This is what Jesus said. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. And then verse 23 through 27 completes the thought. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to have left the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. My brothers and sisters, what is this saying? Jesus is telling us in retrospect, because we're not under the Pharisees and Sadducees or the Jewish rabbinical priesthood. We are under Christianity. The same is going on in our churches today. We have to be very careful because of the doctrines of men and the traditions of the elders. Okay, let's go back to the next instruction. Now we're going to go back to 1 Kings, and I want you to turn this time to chapter 17, and we're going to just look at one verse, chapter 17, verse 1. And what I want you to pay attention to is this particular instruction as I read the verse to you. Excuse me. The verse, the instruction is, I, Elijah, prophesies to Ahab. Okay, let's hear what Elijah has to say to Ahab. This is what it says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And that is the prophecy that Elijah gave Ahab. And of course, it was because of the sins of Ahab that this famine was going to be thrust upon Israel. Now, let's go to our New Testament compliment. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke. We're going to go to Luke, and we're going to look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 24 through 30. Luke chapter 4, 24 through 30. And this is what Jesus said concerning the same, but bringing it up to date in the New Testament, letting those who are hearing that God does not accept disobedience, and because of it, there's going to be trauma throughout the land. Listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, which when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all of the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sepulchre, a city of Sodom, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the times of Elisha again, the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saying Naaman, the Syrian. And all they that were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust Jesus out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went his way." My brothers and sisters, again, this is what happens to those who tell the truth in God. They will be disregarded, or in this instance, they will be stoned. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to the next instruction. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 17 one more time. We're going to look at verse 2 through 4, and we're going to look at verse 9. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Elijah, protected by God during the drought. So this is significant, that those of us who are close to God, we have to realize that when we are doing God's will, that what is going on around us is not going to impact us, because we're doing God's work. And this is what it's going to tell us about Elijah. He was protected during this drought. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 2 through 4. And this is chapter 17 of 1 Kings. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee thence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Now let's go to verse 9 to complete the thought. "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee." And remember in the last reading of the last instruction of the New Testament complement in Matthew, in Luke, that's what Jesus was referring to. So God is going to take care of you if you do his will. That's what this is telling me, and this is what I'm sharing with you. Now let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 23, and we're going to look at the New Testament complement. We're going to see how it compares and agrees with what we just read. We're looking at Acts chapter 23, verse 11 through 23. Listen. And this is Paul being taken care of for doing God's will. Listen, my brothers and sisters. It says, "And the night following, the Lord stood by Paul and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though he were to inquire of him more perfectly concerning this. And we, and ever he come down, will be ready to kill him. And when Paul's sister, her sister's son, heard of this lying in wait, he went and he entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto him who had something to say unto thee. Then the chief captain told him, took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked, what is it that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee to bring forth Paul tomorrow into the council, and then that they would inquire of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait for him more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now be ready for the promise, looking for a promise to thee to do that. So you can see that this is what happened with Paul, just like with being taken care of Elijah. God took care of Paul too, because he made sure that the captain did not do that. Now I see we're at the second break. Let's take that break, and then we'll get back to our study.
I had some tantrums of saying, I can't do this, this is too hard. When I was a kid and comparing myself to everyone else and saying, I can't do it, I'll never be able to do that. My parents always sat me down and said, look, Nick, yes, there are things that you can't do, but don't say, I can't do it. Ask yourself, how can I do it? You know, there's ways around it. You can get from one side of the mountain to another, but you don't just have to walk over it. Maybe you can go underneath it or around it, or there's always ways in achieving the same goal. The way that I've achieved in my life doesn't always look the same for everyone else. But the key to that success was I believed in myself. If someone else could do something, then I could try and work out how. It starts with believing in yourself.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's go to our next instruction. We're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 17. Again, we're going to take another instruction out of chapter 17. We're going to be looking at verse 23 and 24. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Elijah heals the widow's woman's dead son. Okay, this is in the story of Elijah. We know in the book of Kings is a chronology of what these different characters experienced during their lifetime. And so in this instance, this is where Elijah heals the widow woman's son who took care of him according to God. Now, this is what the verse 23 and verse 24 of chapter 17 says about that. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth in truth. Now we're going to go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to see in the book of Acts. Turn with me to the book of Acts, and we're going to see how similarly this occurred with Paul doing God's will, and in the instance there was a person that died, Paul brought that person back to life. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through 12. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through 12. Listen, my brothers and sisters, this is the compliment. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. Being fallen into a deep sleep, Paul was long preaching. He sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. So in this instance, as the widow's son was brought back to life by Elijah, Paul brought back to life the young man that fell from the loft and died. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to this time. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 16. 1 through 16. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. We're going to look at this instruction, Elijah's encounter with Obadiah. And remember, Obadiah is one of the prophets, one of the minor prophets. Listen to the encounter he had with Obadiah. This is chapter 18 of 1 Kings, verse 1 through 16. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And what I'm going to tell you, that I mentioned that Obadiah was a prophet, this particular Obadiah was not a prophet. He was the governor of Ahab's house. So I correct myself in that. Listen to what verse 4 says. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, and into all the brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose none at all of the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. And Ahab went to one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered and said, I am. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither thou, Lord, has not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And the thing is that Elijah was being searched for by Ahab, and no one could find him. So Obadiah was afraid to do what Elijah was telling him to do. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from thy youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, and how I hid 100 men from the Lord's prophets by 50 in the cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. So that was the encounter, and Obadiah believed what Elijah told him, and he did what Elijah told him to do. Now let's go to the book of Acts, and we're going to see in the book of Acts how similarly Paul responded and did what God or Jesus told him to do. He was afraid at first, like Obadiah was, but he still did what Jesus told him to do. And listen to what Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6 says about it. And Saul, yet breaking out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from the heaven. And he fell to his feet, or he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said unto him, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. So just like with Elijah and Obadiah, the same with Jesus and Paul. But Paul believed Jesus, just like Obadiah believed Elijah. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn again back with me. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to take another instruction out of 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to be looking at verse 21 through 24 in chapter 18. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. And before we get, I see we're at our next break. Let's take that break, and then we will return to the lesson.
The biggest poison in us is regret.
I think there are a lot of people that have dreams and aspirations of things that they always wanted to do, but it wasn't the right time, or they didn't have enough money, or they didn't have enough experience. It's never the right time. You're never going to have the right experience. And all of a sudden, you wake up and you're 70. And you're like, God, I wish I could have done it.
It's what you don't do that screws with you later on.
I get one shot at this life. This is it. And I don't want to go through life being the 80% version of me. I don't want to look back and be like 77 and be like, I didn't do that. There's so much I want to do, and I love life so much, I don't want to miss it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with the instruction. We're looking at 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21 through 24. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind and pay attention to as I read the text to you. The test on Mount Calvary, on Mount Carmel. So there is a situation that's going to occur on Mount Carmel that Elijah is involved in. Listen to what the scripture says. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So this is the test on Mount Calvary to see whose God is going to consume the bullocks that are laid on the dry wood. All right. Now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. Turn your Bible sources with me to Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to look at several verses to compare and agree. And this is going to be verses 14 through 18. And we're going to look at verse 23 and verse 30. And this is the test in the New Testament in the guise of a parable that Jesus gave, but it still tested these individuals to see if they would obey and what would happen after if they don't obey. But first, we're going to listen to the test. The test is chapter 25, verse 14 through 18. This is Matthew chapter 25. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Verse 23 continues the thought. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He said that to the one that had the 5 talents. And he said that to the one that had the 2 talents. But listen to the one that had the 1 talent. This is what happens when the test has failed. This is what he said in verse 30. He said, and cast ye the unprofitable servant unto outer darkness, and there shall be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is what happens when you fail the test. And we must realize, my brothers and sisters, that God is, as Jesus told us in his gospel, is not going to respond to us serving two masters. We will either love the one and hate the other, or we will honor the one and despise the other. Jesus says we cannot serve two masters. God and mammon will not be allowed. And so that's the test that we're looking at, too, that we have various tests as we walk through this journey that and experience that we're having, that we have to be very careful that we choose correctly. All right, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to look at another couple of verses, verse 39 and 40, 39 and 40 of chapter 18. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Elijah has Baal's prophets destroyed. Now, we're giving the scenario of the exploits of what Elijah experienced during his lifetime. And we're following that scenario. And because of the test that the prophets from Baal failed, Elijah had them destroyed. And this is what it says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 39 and 40. And when all of the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape." And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. My brothers and sisters, that's what happens when you fail the test. Sin comes in, and of course we know the wages of sin is death, and that is what occurs in our lives. And without repentance, there is no remission of sins. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to read what verse 34 and verse 41 says concerning this, and we were just in verse 25 to know that the test of the talents, we know that the one that did not test out, that he was thrown out. Listen to what God further identified that will happen to those who fail the test. Verse 34 says, "Then shall the king," now this is still a part of the parable, "then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then verse 41 says, "To those who fail, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So that's the end result, my brothers and sisters, for failing God. All right. Let's go to the next instruction. Let's go back to 1 Kings. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 19 this time. And we're going to be looking at verse 1 through 8. And as I read the verses to you, this is what I want you to keep in mind as I do. This is the instruction. Elijah flees Jezebel. Okay, let's see what's happening here. Elijah flees Jezebel. We're going to find out why this is happening to Elijah. Listen to what verse 1 through 8 says. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all of the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, Is it enough now, O Lord? Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee now. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in, and in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So this is telling us what happened to Elijah with Jezebel. Now I see we're at our last break of the evening. Let's take this break, and then we will return to the study.
If you only have 24 hours in a day, your success is dependent upon how you use the 24. You got to hear me. People talk about Oprah Winfrey, you know, Ted Turner, Warren Buffett. Listen to me. I don't care how much money you make. You only get 24 hours in a day. And the difference between Oprah and the person that's broke is Oprah uses her 24 hours wisely. That's it. Listen to me. That's it. You get 24. I don't care if you broke, you grew up broke. I don't care if you grew up rich. I don't care if you're in college, you're not in college. You only get 24 hours. And I blew up literally. I went from being a high school dropout to selling 6,000 books in less than 6 months. What happened? My 24 hours. I was like, okay, Eric, you got to get a grip on your 24 hours because you're about to be broke for the rest of your life. And that's all I need you to do for me. I can tell you all about your life if you just write down your 24-hour schedule for me and you let me look at it. I can tell you where you're going to be in 5 years. I can tell you where you're going to be in 10 years. I can tell you where you're going to be in 20 years if you keep that schedule.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're going to look at the New Testament complement tells us, comparing Elijah fleeing from Jezebel, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to see how when Jesus was born and the kings went to visit, and they were told by God to go another way back. And Herod the king was despised. And what he did was he killed up a lot of children. And Joseph, the father of Jesus, his surrogate, he was warned in a dream to take Jesus and flee, just like Elijah fled from Jezebel. Listen to what it says, Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at it, verse 1 through 3, and then verse 12 through 15. Listen to what it says. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And verse 12 through 15 gives a completed thought. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, of the prophets, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So that's the comparison, that Joseph did exactly what Elijah did to flee Jezebel, obeyed God, and he received that in a dream. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Let's turn our Bible sources back. We're going to now look at 1 Kings chapter 15, and we're going to take verse 32 through 34, in chapter 15, And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you, that Baasha caused Israel to sin against God. Now, we're looking at another king, and I'm just telling you that these kings are in chronological order. I'm taking them out of order to just share with you the particular instructions that I'm emphasizing. So in this instance, Baasha caused Israel to sin against God. And this is in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 32 through 34. Listen to what it says. And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, in all their days. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, began Baasha, the king of the son of Ahijah, to reign over all Israel in Tarsus, 24 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of Jeroboam, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. So, this is what is recorded about Baasha causing Israel to sin. And what we're going to do, we're going to revisit Matthew chapter 23, because it's so important and pertinent for us today. In Matthew chapter 23, we're going to see how, again, we already discussed it, how the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes, Jesus told them that they were just as bad as those kings. They were causing Israel to sin in those days. And I say to you right now, my precious brothers and sisters, we have a lot of pastors in a lot of different churches that are going according to, you know, man-made doctrine and traditions, and they are causing the children of God to sin against God and to forsake God because of their error in what they are instructing and causing the children of God to take part in. Listen to what Jesus said to the hypocrites again in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15 and 16. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. When these individuals are trying to convert you to come into their way of practicing godliness, you got to be very careful, my brothers and sisters, because they put on you burdens that they wouldn't even bear themselves, that they misunderstand their interpretation when they read the Bible about these particular things. And that's why you got to be very careful. And we know that a lot of what Paul says about women and a lot of things that are said about, you know, homosexuality and divorce, you got to be very careful how these interpreters are you listening and follow these individuals, because they're going to cause you to be as these Pharisees caused these Israelites to become. And again, verse 16 continues, woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. And again, my brothers and sisters, we know that today what is happening, that they're telling you to buy these anointing cloths and aprons and to tithe more than what is required by the Bible, that you'll get these benefits, and they're just making themselves rich. This is what Jesus is telling these Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes as hypocrites. Now let's go to verse 23 through 27 to complete the thought. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have anointed and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, not to leave the others undone. And here again, it's telling us that the money is what they're seeking, and they're causing you to spend your money. They tell you to tithe and to sow, and they're not telling you that you can also tithe and sow with effort and time and energy and performing things that You're not money-oriented or money-directed. That's the key. Now go to verse 24. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And again, this is something that is being done today, where they'll try and take one verse and pinpoint it to the extent that they give you no leadway. And that is gagging at a gnat and swallowing a camel, my precious brothers and sisters. Beware of that. Still again, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. That's exactly what we see today. It's common in the world, do as I say and not as I do. And we find that this is exactly what's going on in these churches, that these elders and trustees, they're telling you to do certain things. They're not even doing them themselves. And when you find that out, then you're discouraged and distracted, or you're not distracted, but you're discouraged, and you turn against what you should be doing that's right. And verse 26 continues the thought, thou blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also, meaning that you should be an example. You should say and do what is correct as an example. Then verse 27 completes the thoughts. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all of uncleanness. And there we know again that we have those that are dressed up and look lavish, and within they are sinners to the nth degree. And that is what we have to be very careful of, my precious brothers and sisters, and I submit that to you, that you be careful of that. Okay, let's go to the final instruction for this evening. We're going to go to what the prophet Jehu had prophesied against Baasha because he was evil. All right, back in 1 Kings chapter 1, or chapter 1, verse 4 of chapter 16. And what I'm going to do, I see that we're running late out of time, so I'm going to conclude that for this evening as the last instruction that we go through. And my brothers and sisters, now that we have completed this lesson for this evening, and as we are about to sign off, the host and I would thank you. We thank you, and we bless you for your participation and encouragement. And as I say goodnight to all of our listeners, remember what Jesus said. He that has an ear, let him hear. God bless and good night.
Know found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Know found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is the reason the scriptures record. Know found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Know found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Well, the Lord looked down from his window in the sky and said,
I created man, but I don't remember why. Nothing but fight since creation day, and I'll send a little water and I'll wash him all away.
So the Lord came down to look around a spell, and there he found Noah behaving mighty well. That is the reason the scriptures record. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the reason the scriptures record. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
The Lord said,
no, there's gonna be a flood. Gonna be some water and gonna be some mud. Take off your hat, Noah, take off your coat. Get a ham, sham, jibbeth, build yourself a boat.
Noah said,
Lord, I don't believe I could.
The Lord said,
Noah, get some 30 gopher wood. You never know what you can do till you try. Build a 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the reason the scriptures record. Noah found grace.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.